It's about to begin a new sugya, and the truth is it's really a series of three sugyas that are building one upon the other. We'll see how all the timing goes. Let's just go to Shul about, how long, about 3 weeks or so, yeah. Give or take. So we'll see whether in theory we can finish all three of these sugyas. Don't have Chalish Nadas, we don't, because in Yeshiva, I also left the last two or three weeks of this man to be able to finish all three sugyas, and we only got two out of the three. We had to put the third one off for June's man. So we'll see what happens in terms of these sugyas. But it's a very, very significant sugya, very, very Yisodistic sugya. I felt to learn the first Bible of Kama, not to see anything about the sugyas, it would be a chaval. So this sugya has absolutely nothing to do with Baba Kama. It is about as far as removed from Mazik and Nizuk and Aish and Bor and Shor they could possibly get. The only reason why it got in here altogether is it snuck in on the heels of a whole series of different statements of Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar. We know the Gemara very often does this. The Gemara will quote a statement and then it'll say, oh, by the way, we have another 10 things that Ula said and Rabbi Elazar. Here they are. And the Gemara takes us on a tour throughout Shah. So this is one of those statements. Again, zero to Baba Kama, but it's a Yisodistic sugya, and so much is said by the Rishonim, particularly by the couple of Tosim, hopefully we're going to focus on the sugya itself. So for whatever reason, the Mamakomos were there somewhere between, somewhere in cyberspace between Washington Heights, Bergenfield, and Teaneck, so they are around somewhere. They haven't yet been Yotzim at Koach LaPoel. Hopefully by tomorrow they will land on this table. But the truth is that we need almost a little bit more introduction for the sugya than the sugya proper today, so we'll make do even without the actual text of the Mamakomos. The sugya actually develops for us some of the basic yesodos in a Torah principle called Sveik Sveika. We know there is a general halacha called Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. Whenever you have a doubt about something, so you have to, if you're dealing with a Nimin HaTorah, you have to err this out of caution. You have to be a little bit more machmer. Let's say I have a piece of meat in front of me, and I'm not sure, is it chazer or not, is it not chazer? So Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. However, the Gemara tells us, and we'll talk about this Gemara at great length as the sugya develops, the Gemara Ksubas Daf Tesef and Aleph tells us that even though there is a rule called Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, there is a almost like corollary rule called Sveik Sveika L'kula. If there is a double doubt that can be created, if you're not dealing with a single situation, a single doubtful situation, but you've created almost two independent doubts, so then we have a rule called Sveik Sveika L'kula. So it sounds like it's a pretty straightforward rule, Sveik Sveika L'kula, what could they possibly to talk about? So the Shach, at the end of your day, like Aleph, wrote what's called the famous Kloli Sveik Sveika. He develops, I think, about 60 or so klolim about Hukha Sveik Sveika. Each one a world in and of itself, each one pages and pages in and of itself. And then after all 60 klolim, so the Shach comments that Hukha Sveik Sveika are so complicated, are so fundamental and so difficult to pin down, that you have to be very, very aware before you make up your own Sveik Sveika. So our goal in the next couple of weeks is not necessarily become creators of new Sveik Sveikas. Halavai, we should understand what some of the basic ones that appear in the Gemara and the Rishonim are all about. And again, be able to understand and appreciate this very, 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 very deep area of halacha, something that has a lot of Torahs have been written on. But one of the primary sources for the entire sugya appears in Rabbi Kamadav Yud Aleph and Aleph. So it was a statement of Ula Amar Beloza. So Ula Amar Beloza speaks about the following scenario. If you have a woman who is a Yoledes, so if a woman gives birth, so we know the Torah tells us the ABCs in Parshas Tazria, if a woman gives birth, she basically becomes Tumeh like Tumas Nida. Tumas Nida min HaTorah means for 7 days. So, I mean, obviously, we observe Hukos Nida a little bit more complicated today because of Chashashas of Nida and Zovas and Shevetikiyam and all that, but that's not going to impact so much in our sugya. We're talking about in the world of Deraisa, so a woman becomes a Nida, she becomes a Nida for 7 days, finished. So the Torah says that Ishaki says Rivi Yolda Zachar, but Tamashiv is Yamim Kimedi Dastvosa Titma. That if a woman is a Yoledes Zachar, she gives birth to a boy, so then she becomes Tumea Tumas Nida for a week. Tumas Yoledes, which is the Alach equivalent of Tumas Nida. She becomes Tumea for a week. And again, that impacts both in terms of she touches things, those things become Tame. She says to her husband, it's Edgen, so she goes to the mikvah. That's the simple bit. That's Tumas Yoledes Zachar. Then the Torah throws a curveball at us and says that if she's a Yoledes Nekeva, she gives birth to a girl, so then she becomes Tumea, also Tumas Nida, for twice the amount of time. That she becomes Petama Shvayim Kididasa. So again, with all the same halachas, if she touches things, they're Tamei, if she's Asura to her husband, everything is identical. She has all the status of Hilchos Nida, but unlike the Zachar, it's for twice the amount, Petama Shvayim Kididasa. So those are the fairly simple parts. Then the Torah makes it even a little bit even more complicated. The Torah says that after those days are over, after the 7 days of Yemei Zachar to Mezachar over, She goes to the mikvah, she becomes tahora, she becomes muteres labayla, and then she has a whole window of time that are called yumei tahara. Yumei tahara means that for the next 33 days, after that week is over, so to culminating in day 40, for the next 33 days, she's tahora lagamre, no matter what happens to her. Even if she's gushing blood, she's bleeding, she has so much blood, it doesn't matter. She is, that's what's called an achadam tohar. So she's permitted to her husband, even though she's bleeding, even though the blood is coming from the same exact place. She's permitted to her husband. She touches things, it's all tohar. The blood is, everything is tohar. That's called dam tohar. That's a special zeh kosov. For 33 days after the 7 days, she's in the status of dam tohar. After the 40 days are up, then she brings a carbon, then she goes back to normal, and then she becomes, if she sees tmeh, doesn't see non-tmeh, etc. And the exact same halacha carries over for the keva, for your lettuce, the keva, except everything everything is doubled again. That just as the keva had 14 days of tumah, twice the amount of a zohar, she has twice the amount of yumei tohar as well. She has a total of 66 days of tohar. You do the math, 14 for 6, 80 days. At the end of 80 days, then she goes back, brings the carbon, goes back to normal. So both of your letters, Zohar and your letters, the Kaiba, have tumas dam, and then they have taras dam. They have dam tome, then they have dam tohar. And again, the cutoff point is the 733 for a boy, 14, 66 for a girl. These are psukim right out of Chumash. Just parenthetically, is any of this relevant for us, Bizman Azeh, in terms of, do we still observe this din of Dam Tohar today? Let's say a woman gave birth a couple of weeks ago. Let's say for a girl, she gave birth a few weeks ago, and now she's all of a sudden bleeding. Would we say, just forget about it, ignore it? So the Gemara doesn't, the Gemara doesn't say anything about this. Quint the Mostri shown him, Bidina Gemara, Bidina Talmud, she's Takamuteris. She could be mamish, bleeding, as long as Halachni is Dam Tohar, she's still Muteris. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes that the minhag became in most Jewish communities in the world, not all the Rambam writes, in most Jewish communities in the world, by the time of the Rambam, there became a minhag not to rely on this kula anymore, because it's just too confusing for people. A woman's going to come to the rabbi on day 75, since she had a girl, and say, I got my period, my mom is bleeding, het de gomor, you muteris the baila, that's the din of the Torah, het de gomor. But it's confusing for people. And 5 days later, we're going to tell them that if you start to bleed now you become a surah. People can get submission. So therefore, they became a minhag. Not a real isadir, but it became a minhag. Not what's called ein bo'al al dam tohar. That's what our custom is today. That we're not bo'al dam tohar. That we have to look the other way and say, you know, it's really tough. Even though in our heart of hearts, we know that it's really tohar. So that has become the almost universal minhag Yisrael today. The Rambam writes, Shamati shem ezim ha'kaymos adayim bo'al al dam tohar. He says that this is not a practice in the days of the Gemara. It's a practice that was innovated in the days of the Gaonim. And he heard rumors there were still some communities that still were Mekel, that there still were Bo'al Adam Tohar. Even though the Rambam writes this in the back of the 1100s or 1200s, by the 2000s already, there was no Jewish community, to my knowledge, that follows this kula. So we have done away with this because it's just too risky. It's too confusing for people. Just also parenthetically, sometimes a Rav will have this almost in his back pocket. Sometimes a Shiloh will come for a woman who had a baby, let's say a couple of weeks before, and the Rav will realize right away that this is not a real Chasnida Shiloh. This is a Midrash. This is a Midrash of Dam Torah Shiloh. So a Rav may sometimes look at a Shiloh a little bit differently, maybe a little bit more Mekel on certain things. He wouldn't be Mekel on if it was real Nida Deraisa, but see with the fact that it's Dam Torah. So those are Rabbanim who have that practice of doing that, have to be very, very careful that they have a real Dam Torah Shiloh in front of them. So sometimes, every once in a while, a woman will come with a Shiloh. Let's say she had a baby a few weeks ago, and she went to the mikveh already, and then all of a sudden she has a little bit of something else. So if there's something else is really, really tummy, it's really us. I have no choice. I'm not from those communities that are still Bo'al Dam Torah, so I have to be a machmer and that. But if she comes and it's probably okay, there's a good chance it's okay, but you know, we would hesitate if it would be a real Shiloh, then sometimes we'll be a little bit more medical. So sometimes I'll ask the woman, I'll say to her, you know, she'll call up and say, I don't know the woman, if she'll call up and say, I just had a baby, you know, 8 weeks ago, I went to the mikvah, now I have the following Shiloh. So discussing, looking at the Shiloh, whatever it is, so I'll ask her, did you have a boy, did you have a girl? So she'll usually think that I'm just interested in just casual conversation. So no, it's a very important piece of information. And then I'll ask her, what day exactly are you up to? You know, tell me exactly what week, how many weeks old is the baby? I'll do my quick math. Are we still within the 80 days? And then I'll ask her the critical question, which she can never understand why I'm asking. Did you have a natural delivery? Did you have a C-section? Because C-section does not have all the dinim of you make tumah and you make tohar and carbon. The whole parsha doesn't apply for C-sections. Again, it's all dinim derais, all xeris and gossips. So then she's totally confused. So why is that intrigue? Why does that matter? It's very, very important, halacha. So if all three of those answers are correct, namely it's a guru, and it's within the 80 days, and it's a C-section, and it's not a C-section, sorry, so then I'll entertain the possibility of looking at it a little bit differently. If all those three, doesn't mean it'll be mutter, but there have been cases where I've been more mekel on shiles of dam torah because I'm convinced that it's really, really dam torah. So you have to be careful with that. But getting back to that story, so on the love of deraisa, dam torah is critical, and again, it all depends on boy, girl, etc. So this is just the ABC. This is the chumash. This is the chumash part. This is the Tosh B'Chsav part. Should have been B'Chsav, but this is the Tosh B'Chsav part of this year. Now we begin to enter into the Tosh B'Apeh part. So as most things in life, everything is simple if everything falls in exact, direct categories. A woman had a baby, you know, we know it's a boy, she has dam torah, dam tuma, dam torah, everything is gemal, wonderful. But the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nida that the dinim of Yeledes apply even if the woman gives birth to a baby that's not alive. She gives birth to a nefel, she gives birth to a stillborn. The halachas would still be true. And the halachas are also true if she's simply a mapelas, if she has a miscarriage, depending on how early on that miscarriage is. If the miscarriage is very, very, very early, it's before day 40, so the Gemara says that's what's called Maya Bialma, that's upsagornish, that's meaningless. The experts in the field have told us that assessment of Chazal is not that we need the experts to tell us, but it's right on target, that it's around day 40-ish or so where the baby begins to become discernible a little bit. What the Gemara calls, Rikin Evarim, you can begin to sense the limbs a little bit. So what Chazal knew, Baruch HaKadosh, or Masar, whatever it is, it's very much in sync with what the modern medicine is telling us in terms of what you can or cannot see at that stage in the pregnancy. So before 40 days, that's a nothing, that's a zero. So again, this is also a very common child. A woman will call me and say, I had a very, very early miscarriage. So what do I do? So she's going to be bleeding anyway, so she's going to be in need anyway. But if we treat her as a Yoledes, then we have to be concerned that not only is she in need, but she's a Yoledes. And if she's a Yoledes Nekeva, which usually at that stage won't even be able to tell, so then she has to wait 14 days. So she cannot even begin to get to the mikvah until 14 days pass. So you have to always, when a Rav gets a shayla about an early miscarriage, you have to be very, very careful to make sure that you're being choshesh, that maybe it's a Nekeva. And if it's a Nekeva, then we have twice the amount of days to be concerned with. So sometimes the woman will say, oh, well, I'll ask her, well, how far into this pregnancy is it? So then it starts to get very, very tricky. So just for our own information, as we all know, when the doctors, quote unquote, date pregnancies, they're using a different calculation than the halacha is using. So sometimes a woman will say, you know, she's very, very early in pregnancy, and she'll say, gee, I feel like I'm already a tenth of the way there, I'm already 4 weeks to pregnant. So first of all, it doesn't mean too much, because they already, it's depending on how you calculate it, because they'll calculate the first day from the day of your last period, which is very nice, but that's irrelevant halachically because you didn't become pregnant for another 2 weeks. So just for their numbers of 40 weeks, so it makes the women feel that they're always 2 weeks ahead of themselves, but they're not really. I mean, halachically, it really starts from the time of conception. So then you have to figure out, well, when exactly was conception? So, well, it wasn't before they went to the mikvah. On the other hand, how much was it after the mikvah? So sometimes it's very, very hard to know that. So they'll start with ultrasounds and tell you, the doctor says, you can't always tell exactly to the minute what we're up to. So it gets tricky. Sometimes you have women who come and they have these early miscarriages, and we say to them, well, now you have to wait 2 weeks of tumor, not just 1 week of tumor, because maybe you're a lettuce nekeva. So you can already begin to see svekas that are starting to enter into the picture. So now, with all that, the Gemara begins to discuss what's called a woman who is mapelas ashilia, that she not really gives birth, but she has something that comes out of her body. That's a shilia. What exactly is a shilia? So even though in the old English Gemara, it used to be translated as the placenta, it's probably not correct. It probably refers more to the sac than to the placenta itself. So the woman, something comes out of her body, and it's obvious when it comes out of her body that there is some kind of a baby here. So we just don't know a lot of information. We have no idea. Is this a boy? Is this a girl? There's no way for us to figure out what it was. And let's assume that it's more than 40 days. So then that's going to impact on her status, that she's going to become now either Tamei for 7 days or Tamei for 14 days. You make Torah for 33 days, you make Torah for 66 days, so a lot of things are already starting to cook here. What makes things even more complicated is really as Sugya begins, I'm overcome Yad Aleph, and Amma Ulam Rabbi Lazar, so Shilya Shiyatz the Mitzosa, Biyam Risha, Mitzos Biyam Shady, that she has this Shilya that passes out of her, she has this the sack, whatever it is, with some kind of a baby, some kind of a halachic baby, or concern of a halachic baby inside. The only problem is she doesn't even know what day it came out of her. Why? Because it came out partly on day one and partly on day two. So she's having this long process of a miscarriage, And she started the process Sunday afternoon, 10 minutes before Shkia, and then it finishes an hour after Shkia on Halachli Monday. So she has what's called the Shilya Shiatz the Miktsasa, Miktsasa Biyam Risha, Miktsasa Biyam Sheni. Why is that so important? It's critical because if Halachli came out on Sunday, so then the 14 days start to kick in on Sunday. You make Torah start to kick in from Sunday. If Halachli came out on Monday, so then everything is one day behind. How in the world do you make this assessment? What is called halachli coming out? So the Mishnah tells us that, like all other areas of halachli, we follow Rov. That when Rov of the flood comes out, that's considered to be the birth of this quote-unquote child. When a regular, when a healthy baby comes out, head first, nine-month baby comes out, so then once the head comes out, that's the halachli, the point of later. That's when the baby is halachli born. That's why if it's a boy and it's late in the afternoon, you better make sure you know exactly when the head comes out, it's going to be enough kamina for a bris. But if the woman's having a miscarriage, so then you follow Rov of whatever comes out. So whenever Rov of the flood comes out, that's halachli the leida, and that's when the clock starts to tick. So herein lies the problem. Shilya shiyatz the miktsasa, biyom rishon, miktsasa biyom sheni, she has absolutely no way of knowing when Rov of this baby came out. So we don't know whether the clock started to tick on Sunday or whether the clock started to tick on Monday. So that's the case. That's Amulam Loza Shilya Shiyatz the Mitsasa, Mitsasa Biyam Risha, Mitsasa Biyam Sheni. So what do you do under these circumstances? So the Gemara says that, well, it depends what Shaila you want to know. What are you asking exactly? If you're asking, at what point is a woman considered to be Tmeya? So she's only considered to be Tmeya when she becomes a Yoledes. So if she became a Yoledes on Sunday, then anything she touched from that point on. If she touches something before she becomes Yoledes, obviously that item is Tahor. So if halachli we declared her to be a Yoledes at 7 o'clock at night on Sunday before it gets dark, before Shkia, so that anything she touches from that point on is problematic. If we're going to halachli be comfortable to say that she didn't become a Yoledes until Sunday night, so then things that she touched in the interim, even though she was starting the process of having a miscarriage, halachli that miscarriage didn't take effect, wasn't chal as a vlad, as a leida, until that evening. So the answer is, we don't know. That's exactly the problem. It's a shilya shiyatz the miktsasa biyom rishon, miktsasa biyom sheni. We have no idea when Rov came out. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, well, safek l'chumra, you have no choice. So what does that mean practically? So that means that, let's say she started the process on Sunday at 7 o'clock, and she is not for another hour, and she touches things at 7:30. She touches the carpet, she touches truma, she touches much, she touches something at 7:30. So now we look at this item that she touched, and we say, Gevalt, we have no idea. Maybe she was Tmeya, maybe she wasn't Tmeya. So Safek L'chumra, we have no choice. We have to discard, in a sense, the truma, discard the kashrut. We cannot eat these things, because if we have svekas, potential svekas, there are isa l'chumras, to eat devarim Tmeyim, to eat truma Tmeya, to eat maaseh sheni Tamei, to eat korbanos Tmeyim, those are isurim der isa. So now we have this woman who we're not even sure, did she make the item Tamei or not? So Leis Breir, we have no choice, and we have to be machmir. So we're in effect saying, she gave birth, maybe, on Sunday. Halachli, we're going to treat her as giving birth on Sunday. The problem is, if you really believe that, if you really think that she gave birth on Sunday, and you're convinced that she gave birth on Sunday, that's what we call in halacha, a chumra da'asili de kula. That could impact on her in the following leniency. I mean, we'll say, okay, great. So she started this birth on Sunday. Halachli, Rov probably came out on Sunday. Let's play that for a moment. If that's true, so then Sunday counts as day one. Monday is day two, Tuesday is day three. So you count down X amount of you make tumah. Now you have to give her 14 days you make tumah because we don't know whether there's a zachar or a nekevah. So we'll count down 14 days. So let's start to count. So we counted day one was Sunday. So 2 weeks later is going to be Shabbos. It's going to be day 14. But so Shabbos, we're going to send it to the mikvah. We're going to let her now touch things. We're going to let her be with her husband. And any blood that comes out tomorrow morning, we're going to ignore it. Everything is mutter because she's right in that window of opportunity, of Yemei Tohar. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. Not realizing that we may have made a tremendous mistake because we're not really sure that the Shilya came out on Sunday. I mean, we know part of it came out on Sunday, but we have no idea when the Rov of the Vlad came out. And if the other side is correct, namely Rov of the Vlad came out halachli on Monday, so then Sunday was not day one, Monday was day one. If Monday was day one, then she's not eligible to go to the mikveh till Sunday night. And that means if she's with her husband on Sunday during the day, small technicality, the chayv karis, because that's an isser of nida, nida gemur min haTorah. If she touches things, they're tamei. If she starts to bleed on Sunday, all that blood is dam tamei all over again. So we made a tremendous, tremendous mistake because we try to be machmir. So this is just important in general life, that sometimes we have a principle called chubad yasal de kula. A person is going to be really, really super duper machmer on something, not knowing that, but being machmer on one thing, you're being tremendously nakel on something else. It's like the famous story from Reb Chaim that in Brisk it was known that Reb Chaim was very, very, very nakel on Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos Shailas. Any sfeikas, anything whatsoever, Reb Chaim was the Brisk is out of Yemazah, very, very nakel on any chashash whatsoever of Pikuach Nefesh. So somebody came to Reb Chaim and they asked him, he said, "You understand?" He says, "You know, the Brisk is a machmer, anything and everything under the sun." He said, "How are you so makel on Chul Shabbos? The Brisk is, they won't wear tzitzis in a place where even there's an Erev, there's every chumra under the Chul Shabbos. It's Kaddish Kadoshim. So how can you so makel? You're right and left. You're lighting fires. You're calling doctors. Everything is right. Being so makel on Chul Shabbos." So Reb Chaim said, "I am not makel on Chul Shabbos. I am very, very machmer in Huchas V'chaibahem, in Huchas B'kuach Nefesh. So you have to, every chumra is going to be a kula." So over here, if we're going to turn around and be so machmir and say, we're very religious, we're extra pious, extra careful, and therefore on Sunday we're going to declare that she's Tamei, etc. So by doing so, you may end up goofing, you may end up turning around a day early and being makel. So you're not allowed to do that. So comes the Gemara and says, you're right. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rava, Lochosh Chasheshes, Mimna Lomamnia Ad Sheini. So the Gemara says, what is the answer? What's the final psak of this halacha? Is that she must be machmir on Sunday. She has to treat that first Sunday as potentially the first day, and therefore she can't be with her husband after she starts to have this miscarriage. And if she touches things, those items become tamei misafik l'chumra. But in terms of the counting of her days do not kick in until the following day. So she has a double count there. She ends up with 15 days in effect. Sunday is day one misafik, and Monday is day one misafik as well. So she has to be machmir on day one vis-a-vis Tumah V'Tahara. This is a turnaround to be machmir on day two vis-a-vis the beginning of the counting. That's the final word of the Gemara. So Amar Rava, Lachosh Chasheshes, she has to be Chasheshes, just be concerned for day one. Memna L'mimya, she doesn't do the actual counting Ad Yom Sheni until day two. So that's the Beferish Gemara. But I just told you, we just read outside three lines of the Gemara. Now is where the Labidic part of the Sugya starts. Because Taisa starts to look around, search around and say, wait a second. We've been working with the klal called Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, which are okay, that klal makes sense, but there's a whole other klal that should be playing out here called Sveika L'kula. So Tosfos is about to create and start the ball rolling, create for us all kind of different potential permutations of Sveikas, and Tosfos wants to know, how come Sveika isn't mutter here, and Sveika isn't tar here, and Sveika doesn't play out here? So hopefully we'll have it tomorrow, hopefully we'll have it inside tomorrow, to begin to read this Tosfos and to understand what Sveikas are, what they're not, what the limitations are, and how they play out lemaisa in terms of this. So again, this is going to be a springboard to Kol Tarkul. It's really going to be less to do with shilyas and stuff like that, more to do with klolim and yisodos in terms of this very, very important area of psak halacha called Hilchos Sveikas.